Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps, maybe a Glengow, any Glen.
And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, I did that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world still is the same. You never change it. As sure as the stars shine above.
All right, welcome to PFW.
Absolutely unbelievable.
What a clown.
After I actually had to get a battery for the headphones, so I got all that done because somebody was using my headphones and left them on. And then I forgot to put the microphone on.
With that battery, you still didn't notice you couldn't hear yourself coming through?
Oh. All right, so now we're here.
Going to have to redo that open again because that's by far the longest because we knew and we just let him go and go and go.
The three of us, Dan, Andy, and I just looked at each other and said, just how long will this go? And then he had his hand over the light so he couldn't see it.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Anyway, gang's all here except Eric.
So the gang's all here.
Except, well, he's on
the bang,
he's on a two-day jury duty at minimum in Rhode Island.
Now, did you look into this to make sure that he just didn't make this up?
I actually had him bring the paper in. Yeah.
How does that work? If you get jury duty, do I have to take a vacation day?
No. You're allowed to.
Isn't there a certain amount of time? Like, if you get on a jury itself and say you're on for like 3 weeks, I don't think that's.
Then there's something that kicks in at that point. But
I
can just see
your hair.
I think there's going to be problems. What?
What's with the weird Superman, Clark Kent, like?
I don't know.
Clark Kent.
Do I have a what do they call that? A cowl?
Coif?
Cowlick? Is that what they call that?
It's just a little messy down. You have like a little noodle hanging down in the front.
Yeah, right. You know how Superman has the little S, or like the little.
All right, anyway.
This is greasy like Dan's.
So he's on jury duty, and I just think there's going to be problems.
Problems in what was the name of the process that he called it?
The voir direing.
The voir direing.
Once they, you know.
Voir dire.
It's called voir dire.
And they have to adjourn or whatever they call that. Don't you think he's going to be like correcting people's grammar and getting on people's nerves?
And then there'll be a murder trial because of that when some guy kills him. Because I'd kill him if I was.
I know you
like,
made
you
the
said
joke.
That 12 angry men.
Yeah.
He would get killed by 11 of the 12 angry men.
And will he do an artist rendering of the trial while it's going on? You know, one of those sketches?
And he'll sell it to the networks. You know how, like, the local news, they can't show, they can't have the camera, so they have this cheesy little sketches.
I hope he gets on a really
good
case.
I
think that would be great.
Formal artistic training.
We would have material forever. You know, are there any big cases going on in Rhode Island right now?
I'm sure there's a corruption case.
He wouldn't tell us anything.
Yes, Fred. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, he would take everything seriously. It's like when my wife comes home every night and says, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but dot, 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 and she tells me.
You're not supposed to say that either.
I know. But Eric would really like, oh, I can't, Fred, I can't talk about that. That was
lubricants.
Lubricant.
Well, I think there's going to be
problems. I think there will be problems too, Freddie. I agree with you.
I don't think there's a judge in America that would want Eric on the case.
No?
No.
Just by looking at him? Yeah.
Too pompous.
Too pompous. All right. All right, well, what's the Patriots news going on? Today's February 5th.
That's correct.
Which is the opening for teams to start naming franchise players.
Welker's your favorite player?
There is no reason to name him your franchise player today.
No, they have 2 weeks. So they have until the 19th.
In 14 days when we're doing this show, then we'll talk about it.
Is there any upside, though, of doing it right away?
I'm not sure there is. You know, we talked about this a little, you and I, Freddie, and then I talked about it with Andy, and I don't know that you can do anything more by announcing it quickly. You can't have – Castle can't begin negotiating because he still would be a free agent and have to adhere to the open of the new league year at the end of the month, which I think is the 27th. Mm-hmm. So I really can't think of an upside. I mean, people, I think, know the Patriots are intending to do this.
Right. So why do they give them 2 weeks? Why the two-week window, then?
It's a good question. I don't really know. I don't know why you would need so long to determine that.
I don't know. You mean just have it one day? Today's the day whether you either announce or don't announce that you franchise a guy?
Yeah.
That's a great question that I don't have an answer to.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But as Paul and I talked about jokingly, there is an advantage to not doing it today. And
yes.
God forbid.
The more information that you have, the better.
Right, but even God forbid, like extreme case, Paul used slips and falls on the ice and tears his ACL, but I used car accident paralyzed from the waist down. But seriously, I mean, you would now be on the hook for $14 million to a guy who maybe can't play anymore.
Right.
So I don't know why you would do it 2 weeks earlier than you have to.
Well, a couple people were upset with us about last week about when we talked about Matt Castle getting urinated on and what his reaction should have been. Which we'll get to, but a lot of it had to do with, you know, he's about to sign this big contract. Why would he risk, you know, getting in trouble or getting hurt by doing something stupid like that?
Well, so. I did reserve judgment, you know, without seeing the size of the guy. If it was just a regular guy, I don't care about my contract. There's no way I'm letting someone piss
off.
You don't disrespect me. I mean, you disrespect me,
you see the way I treat the women at Babies R Us.
If a little girl did it to you, you'd be like,
damn, you know, right,
using her for a soccer ball.
No, but if it's some like big roided out monster or something, I can understand Matt saying, you know what, all right, this isn't right, but I got to kind of just deal with this.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. You know, maybe the Patriots Media Relations Department will come down with a press release later in the show. I don't know. But
I doubt it.
I tend to believe that they'll wait until the very end, until they have to do it.
And didn't you say, I didn't check out everything this morning, but didn't you say that Mike Reese seemed to indicate that he thought it would be sooner?
No, well, he just said it could be as early as today, which is just a fact.
Okay. I thought you meant that he had some sort of analysis.
No, just a fact. It could be as early today. It could be as late as the 19th. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys then wholeheartedly. I think that you wait because you never know how much more info you can have, and that should benefit you. And I don't really think there's any scenario that's beneficial to do it early.
Plus, they've always done it late. The times that they've done it, they've either done it on the last day. I think Samuel was actually the earliest, and it was like maybe 3 days early.
It seems to be at the combine all the time.
Yeah.
When you're already there.
Yeah, which this year it will not be. Because we get there the 18th, starts the 19th. It is the 19th, the first day of the combine.
Yeah, the last day of the...
Maybe it is always the Thursday of the combine, because that's what I remember it as, the Thursday of the
combine. Keep your ears open when you're there.
Yeah, I will.
Wouldn't that be a kick in the head? Andy's at the combine covering it. They announced the franchise. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear it. What are you doing there?
Could happen.
Get out of the Weber grill.
You think Bill will be there this year?
I do. I think he will be.
I agree. I think he will be as well, because he's had... You know,
if you're going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, I think you're going to go to the combine.
I think that was a little different. My theory on that is he was looking for assistant coaches.
Coaching staff, yeah.
That is considered a job convention.
That could be.
Yeah. And either just guys that are looking for a job or, you know, a chance to talk to Parcells and these other guys about, you know, you got any names for me that I might be able to.
Networking.
Tight ends coach, wide receivers coach. And let's not disregard the castle.
Right.
Talking to people like Parcells. Hey, hypothetically speaking, were we to franchise Castle and trade him, would you guys be interested? How much you're willing? So I think a lot of that had much more to do with those issues than actually scouting players and
jackpot.
Well, and some on the bitterness news and the juvenile, immature Patriots news. Some problems in Kansas City.
Yes,
Larry Johnson and Tony Gonzalez voicing displeasure with the organization and the process, and they're not happy. Over in Cleveland, I guess Eric Mangini held a very odd press conference where he was barely audible.
Really?
Yeah. That the typing on laptops actually drowned him out at times.
Is that why all the headlines I read had like references to mom and quiet? And
yeah.
They were all, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't read the stories.
He was just probably very, very quiet.
What do you think is going on with him? He seems to be acting very strangely.
I don't know. You know, so
maybe he's having like a mental breakdown.
Well, I've seen a man in, I think what we've seen is a man in turmoil.
Man in turmoil, right.
So but he does seem to be acting awfully strangely.
Tucci just walked in with our lunch from Pizzeria Grande.
The greatest pizza joint in the planet.
Our new sponsor. And who is this from today?
Some man named Strippers. We need to pump one of his business ventures.
Okay, from Strippers. Ooh,
probably
and,
should use a different choice of words. He's talking about his business ventures.
I'd like he to says, pump one of them. Give out my email address, strippers@comcast.net, in case anyone needs entertainment for any parties. So that is strippers@comcast.net.
You know how they say alcohol is recession-proof?
Yeah.
Are strippers?
Porn. Porn has to be.
I would think. A six-pack and some porn is how you drown your sorrows.
Well, the question is, though,
should we be talking
what
about
is
this?
His range? Like, how far away can he facilitate a party?
One, two, three. Okay, check your inbox. He just told you. I'm sure he'll get back to you with that information if you'd like it.
So
I think the girls are mobile.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, if somebody from, New Jersey calls, does he have a network that he can tap into?
I would
into?
Say it all depends on the money. If the money's right, he'll get on his bike and pedal them to Colorado.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you, Strippers.
They're the
strippers.
Best strippers.
And again, for the best in party dancing, it is strippers@comcast.net.
What is party dancing?
Dancing at parties. You know?
Yeah, that's a dumb question.
So.
But aside from the franchise thing, Freddie, I'm not sure that there's a lot of pressing news right
now. Tony Gonzalez is going to be a Patriot. That's pressing news.
I forgot. There are guys that are wanting out of their teams, and automatically they come to the
Patriots. Matt Castle for Larry Johnson and Tony Gonzalez.
We didn't get any real Coke? 2G? Just two bottles of Diet Coke? You couldn't get a regular one?
No one else drinks regular Coke.
I do.
I know.
I came here this morning.
Why,
that
you
big
have a weight
2-liter
problem.
Bottle of...
live in a Cadillac down by the river. Just drink the diet.
What did you get?
A calzone. We have to cut into...
Because you got veal, you got chicken, he got pepperoni.
Oh, no. And the veal and the chicken might look the same. And I don't want to eat a baby cow. I only eat chicken. And right. Did you notice we need to pump that they have a unique menu, which includes buffalo mozzarella sticks? You just had one, Fred. What do you think?
It's delicious. It's a combination of buffalo sauce and mozzarella.
Yes, and I was actually concerned after I ordered it because, you know, there's a buffalo mozzarella that's not buffalo flavored. It's like, I guess, comes from buffalo milk, maybe. But I was concerned because this is what I wanted. I wanted mozzarella sticks in buffalo sauce, and they deliver.
All right, well, it sounds like we're going to have
to... Paul doesn't like it. Oh, he's curling up his nose. Picky Paul Perillo, God forbid he tries something new.
He tried it. Well, it sounds like we're going to have to be email-driven here today because there's a lack of, real news.
Well, let's talk about the Gonzalez stuff.
Well, we can talk about that.
I mean, you want Tony Gonzalez. You think he's a key figure moving
forward.
Not
necessarily. I didn't go into this offseason and go, geez, I wish we could get Tony Gonzalez. I'd rather get TJ Houzmanzada, who is voicing the fact that he'd like to leave the Bengals and perhaps go to the Eagles.
He's a free agent.
Wait. Championship. You'd rather get TJ Houzmanzada.
Yes.
All right, let's talk. Okay, I think you're right. We should talk about this a little bit.
All right.
There's a cup right there if you need a cup. I'm not enamored with the off. I think Tony Gonzalez, first of all, is a special player. I think he's a Hall of Famer. As soon as the time, you know, the time period is up, whatever. I'm not sure how much better adding a key cog to the offense makes the offense. I think they need to devote their offseason resources to defense.
That doesn't mean you still can't get defense if you get Husman Zada.
But what are you going to do with it? How much better does he make you?
Right. And why do you get
First of all, you know that I don't even think that T.J. Husman Zada is all that good a player.
He thinks he's Wes Welk.
Ooh.
I think Wes Welk is better.
Oh, I don't know. I mean...
Imagine how little he thinks of Husman Zada.
You know, this...
One might infer that.
This is a 180-degree change for you, because last year at this time, you were saying that T.J. Husman Zada was way better than Wes Welk.
No. First of all, that's completely untrue, because I think T.J. Husman Zada is a dime a dozen player, so I know that I never said anything positive about him.
What?
I think he's a dime a dozen player.
Oh, come on.
Okay. I think there's a lot of guys that could average 10 yards a catch. That's my feeling. Thus the term dime a dozen. I think special guys average 14, 15, 16, 17 yards a catch.
I think he's got decent size. He's got good speed, you know.
No big playability.
I think he catches passes at all areas of the field. No big
Not downfield.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I've seen him do it. I think most of the time Chad Johnson is that target, but I think this is a guy, he's a very versatile wide receiver. And I think on the Patriots offense, he'd be spectacular.
But now you're looking, let's forget about what I think of Hushman's eye. Let's say that we all agree that he's a terrific receiver, okay? How much of an upgrade is having another good wide receiver, you know, having a guy? I think that they could do better than Javard Gaffney as a third receiver. Certainly. How much better does that make your offense?
I think any time you can upgrade, you do it.
But you need to upgrade on defense.
I think Dante Stallworth, for example, was...
Well, we were talking about Gonzalez. That's why I was thinking another pass catcher.
You're using a chip.
I'd rather get Julius Peppers.
But that's my point. Maybe that's a possibility.
That's what I mean. You know?
You're using a chip in Matt Castle, and part of the return is offense when you're admitting you need defense. So you need to find a trading partner that wants Castle... That's going to give you either significant picks that you can use on defense or a defensive player.
I didn't know we were specifically talking about Castle involved in the deal.
You came in to me and said, would you do this? Castle in a fourth for Gonzalez in a third. So that was obviously part of your trade
Different
scenario.
Conversation.
What's the biggest chip the Patriots have this offseason to acquire talent other than draft picks? Matt Castle, right? So if you're going to be using him, shouldn't you be seeking defensive help in some way, either in player or draft picks?
Well, if you can. I mean, if the Panthers are, you know, done with Delhomme, I would talk to them. But Julius Peppers is going to cost a ton of money.
Right.
A lot more than I think Tony Gonzalez at this stage in his career.
But you can also just get draft picks and use them on defense.
That's absolutely true, Fred. You're dead on. But my point is, in a nutshell, I think that you had Dante Stallworth 2 years ago, who I thought was significantly better than Jabari Gaffney. The offense was historic, no question. But the difference between that offense and last year's offense, once Castle got established, was not that great to me. Now, they didn't set records. They didn't have Randy Moss catch 23 touchdowns. Matt Castle didn't approach 50 touchdown passes, and they didn't score 580-whatever points. I understand that. But offense didn't cost them really any games. Maybe one. You know, when they lost 18-15.
When Jabari Gaffney dropped it.
Right. So maybe you can make the argument. The difference between, that's a good point, Andy.
They would have been in the playoffs.
If that's a T.J. Hushmanzada, he probably makes that catch and they probably make the playoffs. And you can make that argument. But my point, you know, on the broader scale is, how much better is your offense going to be? It's going to be great.
But the way
it's going to be better with Brady, Moss, and Welker next year. How much better that is going to be?
I kind of look at it the way Belichick does. I look at every season as its own thing. I step back and I look at the whole team and I say, how can I improve this team everywhere?
And that's what I'm trying to do.
Now, I think you're right. The big pressing need is defense. There's no doubt about it.
And that's how Belichick looks at it, too. Let's be honest. Over the years, he's talked about specific needs. Whether it was way back in 2002, getting younger and faster on defense was said 1,000 times, or whether it was in his actions in, they had no receivers, they went out and got Welker and Moss. They had no young linebacker, they went out and drafted Gerard Mayo. I still feel like this year he's going to say, we got to work on pass rush and pass coverage.
Right.
And those are my top targets, and if I'm trading Matt Cassel, I need to get something in return that's going to lead me to that end game, because as Paul said, the offense is going to be good enough. You're going to score enough points, and while, yeah, we can point to that Indy game and say, had they scored there, they make the playoffs, it would be a difference maker. How about all the other games that we could point to where we'd say, if they had Julius Peppers coming off the edge, or if they had Asamoah covering, they would have had a much better chance to win.
What are the chances of, you know, not just a trade, but a trade for Cassel involving another player? I think it's much more likely that the trade is just draft picks for Cassel than draft picks and a player, or a player for Cassel. You don't see those player-for-player trades
a lot.
So I don't know if that would happen. We looked at Kansas City a lot because of the relationship between Pioli and Belichick, and maybe they could work something out. But I'd much rather, you know, get somebody like a, you know, I don't know who's not a free agent that we would want on defense.
Not a free agent.
You know, that would
Champ
be,
Bailey.
Well, yeah, but
Josh McDaniels might be willing to play.
I don't think the Broncos. He'd be crazy. I mean, you've
I know,
got
I'm
you've
just
got
you asked me for
corner,
a player,
you know,
who's not a free agent that I want.
You know, they don't need a
James Harrison.
You know,
I'll take James Harrison.
But they don't need a quarterback.
You didn't say that. You said a player not on the Patriots, not a free agent that
right.
I want.
Can you get
what about Bob Sanders?
Bob.
They
Sanders.
Don't need a quarterback. Okay, so we're looking for teams that.
Have a defensive player on a team that might be willing to give one up that actually needs a quarterback. It's probably, you know, a pretty select group.
How about...
First of all, not a lot of players get traded, period, in the league. Because there's not a lot of cases like Larry Johnson where he's so disgruntled that he wants to get out of there and, you know, you might be able to swoop in and pick the guy up. Now, Larry Johnson, I think, is an intriguing guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have a good core stable of running backs, but you don't really have the lead dog. You know, he might be, I don't know, he could be the guy that you rely on, and you want to focus on the offense and the running game, and then you have Morris and Maroney and Heath Evans and Kevin Falk.
Right. The way I look at it is this. I don't know how much Larry Johnson would command. But it's probably in the range of Gonzalez because they're both at that kind of stage in their career, maybe. I don't know. But anyway.
Johnson's younger,
but he's also much more expensive, isn't he? Doesn't he have like 4 years left on that extension that he signed?
Yeah, more expensive, but they've already eaten the bonus.
You know,
that's the benefit.
So you get a guy like Johnson, you know, plus maybe a draft pick. That still, I think, frees you up to make a splash in free agency. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's.
Yeah, he's not $14 million.
That's the point. I think that, you know, if you get a guy like Gonzalez, yes, you have an addressed defense, but you still got now an extra draft pick, and you still can get somebody in, you know, for defense through free agency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't mind.
Wait, what's your deal? How are you getting an extra draft pick?
Because you just traded Larry Johnson plus a third
pick.
Rounder or something for Cassel.
Ooh.
You wouldn't do that if you're Kansas City?
I don't know. Now, Gonzalez. Yeah, with his age.
I think I'd do it with Larry Johnson. I mean, the guy,
he's
been a pain in the butt to them.
Yeah,
you know.
He is.
Yeah, I mean.
But, I mean, so you're saying that you would need that extra pick because of what Larry Johnson's doing.
Yeah, he's killing his trade value, yeah. Especially since he said, I'd like to go to Dallas, maybe the East Coast. So not only is he saying he wants out of Kansas City, he's now shaving parts of, you know, half the country off. He wouldn't go to any of those teams. Limiting the trade partners, potentially. Scott Pioli's got quite a mess on his hands in Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's got no coach, no quarterback, and his two best offensive players are popping off in the media, shooting their way out of town. Not exactly the nice, quiet. It's kind of like Obama taking over the country.
Well, we won't get into that. So, but we can't. What? Who else is a trading partner for Matt Cassel?
Let's think. Who does Minnesota have on defense?
Well, Minnesota's got some good.
They're not going to trade Jared Allen. They're not going to trade Kevin Williams. Pat Williams is too old, and you don't need defensive linemen. Who's their linebacker?
How about Antoine Winfield?
Hasn't he fallen out of favor with them?
He's still a starting player.
Yeah. I would definitely require some draft picks in addition to that.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying we're just looking for a package that would include.
First-round pick and Winfield? So they don't have a first-round pick.
I wouldn't do that if I'm Minnesota, that's for sure.
Plus, they don't have a first-round pick, right?
I don't know.
Oh, no, they traded last year's first-round pick. Who else is a trading partner? Kansas City, Detroit, who do they have on defense? Can't think of anybody.
I mean, the Raiders.
Ernie Sims. That's the only player they have, right?
And he's a runaround linebacker. San Francisco, Patrick Willis. I would take Patrick Willis.
Yeah, well,
is that Patrick Willis in a first-round pick for Castle? That seems to be what you guys are saying for every other pick, every other player.
I think there's
that would have
chance
to be straight up.
They would trade him.
If anything.
But I would, I don't know about have to be, but yeah. That would be. I would make that deal, if I could acquire Patrick Willis. Certainly.
Willis for Castle.
Yeah. Now, from San Francisco's perspective, I think in theory they'd make the deal because you'd say a franchise quarterback is more valuable than a linebacker. But I don't think they would make the deal because he's the building block of their defense. He's already established himself with the team. They need an identity, and he's the closest thing that, aside from their head coach, he's the closest thing they have
to
an identity.
There's certain players that. Over time, you might be able to replace him, but not in the short term. Patrick Willis is not you cannot replace him short term. You're not going to get another player of his caliber this year.
He is there. There's never been a guy like him in terms of NFL record for tackles in his first year and All Pro, Pro Bowl.
You've picked up a quarterback, perhaps, but you're losing a guy that you're not going to be able to replace this year. So you kind of, you're not adding anything really.
It's a step forward and a step back.
Right. So I wouldn't do that if I was San Francisco.
But, I mean, a lot of these teams that are looking for a quarterback aren't really good, so they don't have a lot of good players across. I mean, say Warner retires. Well, can you make a trade for Dansby or something like that? That'd be funny if Castle took the job from Lyon.
The other thing about San Francisco, they're high enough in the draft where they can get perhaps a quarterback and still have Patrick Willis. They don't really need to give him up.
To me, Detroit is the ideal one because they have the two picks. They can do something at the top of the draft, trade the Patriots the 20th pick, I think, and get their quarterback who's a proven guy, established. I think they make a lot of sense. But I don't really want any of their defensive players.
Okay. So it may not be as easy as we think to trade Matt Castle.
I think that
if you're looking for a player, if you're just looking for
draft
picks.
Would be. I think the draft picks is the thing that probably Belichick is focused on. Don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Yes, I think so.
I think so. The first team that comes up with a one and a something or whatever. I mean, I think he would do it in a heartbeat. The 20th pick in the draft plus something else.
Do you think that teams have offers on the table already?
Yes. Well, not on the table, but in the air, floating around the table.
You don't think that there's something? Hey, when you're ready, this is what we'll give you.
I bet you
that's why I said floating around the table.
Yeah, and I think that's legal. It's nothing. There's no. That's not tampering or anything.
No,
but I think you're hesitant to do it too early in the process. So there's kind of, there's some talk back and forth, but you're not really. You don't have an offer on the table, so to speak.
Well, and that makes sense too, because if I'm the other team, why would I tell the Patriots what I'm willing to give so that they can now shop it around and see if they can do better?
Right. They're all. They got one card that they're hiding under their vest.
What I would do, though, is say, hey, I'm interested. When you're interested, let's talk. I'd let my interest be known.
And I think, again, I think that was the Lombardi thing, and I think that was the trip to the Senior Bowl, possibly. I think, there's a lot going on this offseason. Because I think you got to do it quickly. Paul and I have talked about this. Everybody says, you wait. Even Floyd Reese, before he became a member of the organization, said, you wait as long as possible. You get all the teams. I think you got to do it quickly. Otherwise, if we get to the draft, then to me, it's done. Matt Castle stays on the Patriots because you've already wasted your $14 million. Because you can still sign some guys, but the bulk of the free agents, any top level player you may have targeted, gone. They've already signed somewhere, and the draft is gone. So you can't get that draft pick that year. And the other team that wanted a quarterback may have kind of been forced into drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I want that pick this year,
right? Because it gets back to the whole Tom Brady window of winning and everything. You want to do it as quickly as you can. So if you get to April 28th and he's a Patriot, I think he's a Patriot.
Yeah. And once they do get those picks, like we said, they'll probably be targeting defense again, we would think.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to have a number. They already have two twos. If you get another one, if you have two ones, two twos, and then maybe something else from Castle, a two or a three. You add in a three from Asante Samuel.
I was going to say, you're probably going to have two threes. There's another.
I don't think those.
I was going
to
say.
I don't think those all first need to be. I mean, we've talked about playmaker on offense, tight end on offense, right tackle. You know, I don't know if you, because let's not forget that they drafted a couple cornerbacks that played last year, an outside linebacker, an inside linebacker. There's some youth movement already there. Merriweather. They need to add a couple youthful playmakers, but they don't necessarily need to add 10 bodies.
I'm not sold on Crable.
Can I get into?
I'm not either.
First of all, what is there to be? Him. What is there to be sold or unsold? We didn't see him play.
Body.
We know. Body. Thank you. Thank you. Below the waist.
Body makeup.
And not where Eric looks below the waist, but way down to his shins.
All right. Speaking of below the waist, we're going to take a break right now. I'll be right back.
It's a super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, we're back, and it's on.
That was like one of, you know how ESPN does instant classics? That was an instant classic open for you.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 minutes later, Dan has it all worked up.
That's great.
It's well done, Dan.
I'm just here to entertain. That's all I'm doing. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Again, thanks to Strippers for getting us lunch today. That was great. Good of him.
Yes. Tremendous.
I agree.
Strippers is the best listener we have for today.
All right. So it's this is tough.
The funny thing is you think that was a bit that he just put together on the fly. That's old. That's an old bit. That Dan has.
Yeah, I produced that like 2 months ago.
Oh, I thought you had the new part in there.
No, they all just sound the same.
Oh, they do all sound.
I even said once before, that's the longest you've ever gone.
Oh. Well, today's was the new longest he's ever gone.
Well, if you're tuning in late, Eric's not here because he's serving jury duty in Providence. And that's going to be trouble.
That's unbelievable.
Yep.
Because you know he's begging to get on whatever.
I can just see, you know, the lawyer is cross-examining the person in the stand, and Eric, you know, I'd like to ask a question.
Right.
I can see it.
Actually, Judge, it's called voir dire.
Right.
And bylaw 1732Q states this, blah, blah, blah.
Right. In the case of Schenectady versus the state of New York or whatever.
Schenectady versus.
All right. We're talking about Matt Cassel, trade scenarios. We've come to the conclusion that we think it won't be a player trade. It'll be just draft picks if they do a trade. That's just our thinking on it. And we've also decided that why tag him with the franchise right now? You got 2 weeks. Just wait. There's no, that we know of, advantage of doing it right away.
Well, aside from the... It's the next step in the process. If other teams believe you may franchise him and may try to trade him, if you franchise him, then in theory they're closer to knowing for sure you're going to trade him. You know what I mean? But I think that's kind
of... Gives you an extra 2 weeks before the draft.
I just think that's kind of already out there.
Just before the break, you guys had talked about wanting to do something quickly so you could take advantage of it in this draft, in the April draft. This is all fantasy land, so we're all throwing out players and whatnot. So let me give you a hypothetical. Would you guys rather do it sooner than later at the expense of as much as you could get in return? Or let's just say, for argument's sake, you could get someone's offering you a first rounder and a first and a third this year, but someone wants to give you a first and a second for next year. Would you take the more, you know, the higher value for the year in advance, or, you know, is it of paramount importance to you guys that it's the 2009 draft?
I got a good question to think. My first knee jerk is I'll take the first and third now. However, the other thing that we haven't thrown into the equation is what if the other team wants to make the draft pick conditional?
Well, that's the thing I think this is going to end up being, is someone's going to give a conditional second-round pick. And if Cassel ends up playing the way he played this year, it's a first-rounder.
Right. So
that protects the team and then, the Patriots.
But I think they're going to get a one.
A one this year?
Well, this year, next year. I think they're going to get a first-round pick. No conditions, no strings attached. Well,
I think that's what you know.
Yeah, and I thought Mike Reese actually...
I'm thinking more of that second. If you're getting a first and something else... That something else could be the conditional pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought Mike Reese brought it up, too, yesterday in his mailbag, and I think it was an interesting point because I hadn't really seen many people talk about the conditional aspect in any of the stuff that they're talking about. But if you look at some of the quarterbacks that have got, you know, like the Brett Favre situation with the Jets last year, now that's different than Cassel because he's obviously at the end of his line here, and Cassel was in his prime. But I do think there's still some uncertainty out there. We all think that Cassel's a pretty good quarterback and played really well. And, you know, that puts him in that he's a proven NFL quarterback category. I'm not sure that the rest of the league really knows that for sure yet. So I think that conditional thing could be in play.
All right.
Another thing we talked about on Comcast Sportsnet last night, Paul Perillo.
But Andy was subbing for me.
Was
you want to be obnoxious? I'll be obnoxious back.
You're good at it. It comes naturally to you.
Oh, that's mean.
The fact that in a copycat league, does the Flacco-Ryan effect have anything on this? Because two teams had success, the second of which, by the way, had success with a guy who wasn't expected to be ready to play.
And a bad offense, too. No, it's not like you could say, well, geez, look, he took advantage of all these weapons around him.
I mean, you could have said Matt Ryan looked like a franchise quarterback, polished, you know, high level, whatever. Flacco was none of those things, came in and had success. Does that eliminate maybe two teams that say, well, why don't we just do what they did?
It could, and I think that would be stupid.
Certainly, to me, the second one. Like, if one of these quarterbacks is a Matt Ryan or – because, you know, based on what Atlanta said, they thought Matt Ryan was Peyton Manning.
Like, they're not real surprised by what Matt Ryan did.
And there were other people that said that. There were other people that said the best quarterback prospect since Manning. Others went further back than that. So he was considered a franchise quarterback. Flacco was not. If there's a guy like that, okay. But the second team, to me, is the one that's risking it by being a copycat. Well, they did it with Flacco. We'll do it with the guy out of Ball State or Kansas State or whatever those guys are.
No, you're right. And I think that would be unwise to do. I think that it all comes down to talent evaluation. And this is where it gets into such a gray area because you just don't know what the teams think of the individual players. And this is why it would be so great to sit down with Bill and get a real, a real educated eye to sort of look at different prospects and whatnot and really find out what a real NFL man thinks of the different players. We can watch as much tape as we want, and we do every year, and Andy goes to the combine every year, but it's hard to know for sure this guy's going to translate to that
sure.
in the NFL. And even the NFL experts can't do it, but they have obviously a better chance. They're going to look at Matthew Stafford and Mark Sanchez, and they're going to have a better idea of what they think. They might look at those guys, and this is where I kind of got in an argument about this on the radio, because everybody just says, well, who would you rather have, Castle or Stafford? And I answered, I don't know. I'm not intelligent. I'm not educated enough as a talent evaluator to make that determination. They just look at it as Castle's played 15 games, so he's better. That's not necessarily true. It might be true.
Right.
But well, Matthew Stafford
right.
could be Matt Ryan, like Andy just said.
Right.
Who would you rather have, Matt Ryan or Matt Castle?
5 years younger,
and
too.
It's not true for either guy. The college guy could be great or bad, and Castle, maybe what we saw last year from Castle was 10% of what he's going to be. Yeah. Maybe he's the
exactly.
next Hall
that's,
of Fame.
That's my point about talent
ever.
Evaluation.
Right.
They have a better idea of that than we do.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
The only thing he has is an NFL resume. He has played in the NFL and succeeded for a short span.
And you're also looking at your team and you're saying, all right, we are – maybe Kansas City says we are such a young team that we put Matt Castle on here today. It's not going to make much difference this year, maybe not even next year. We're better off going with – a Matthew Stafford, have him grow with the team, and by the time he's ready, we'll have, you know, accumulated the free agencies and developed the young players we have in our system. They'll all be good.
Castle's pretty young.
Yeah, he's still young enough that he could grow
if
with your team.
If it's not going to happen in the Castle era, then it ain't happening in
happen,
the Pioli era.
And it ain't happening in the Stafford era either.
Right.
I mean, there's not that much difference. My point is you have to figure out who you think is the better player. Andy
right.
put it perfectly. You might look at Castle and say, he's just scratching the surface. What he did the last 8, 9, 10 games, that's nothing. He's going to be light years better
right.
than that 2 years
well,
from
you
now
see,
when he gets these reps.
You see, you know, and this is what Bill has said. You know, what you're looking for is progress. You're looking for how they improve and if at any point they start to level off. And all right. Castle did was get better with every game. He learned something, and he, you know,
Bill
remember,
kept, and Bill kept telling us that
yeah,
every week how much
his,
better he was.
That's
getting.
His,
you know,
to
so
me, his
so he hasn't
value.
Hit as far as we know. He hasn't hit that peak yet.
Yeah.
So
that's what makes it tricky. If
yeah.
I'm Pioli, and Pioli knows Castle as well as anybody that's going to be potentially dealing for him, I would think Pioli knows what he has in Castle, and he sees this, you know, rise. Does he look at Matthew Stafford or Mark Sanchez or Josh Freeman, like Andy brought up, or Nate Davis, the Ball State and Kansas State guys? Does he look at those guys and say they can make a similar meteoric rise?
You don't know.
I don't know.
You
but
don't know.
Bill knows that Pioli knows what Castle is.
Well, all right. So then they're dealing on a level playing field. They each know what each other knows, and they can make a fair deal.
I still think that would be a really, really – talk about wanting to be a fly in the wall of that conversation. Like those two guys trying to work a deal, knowing full well that the other guy thinks he's pulling one over on the other.
Well,
Pioli's got to be looking at it and saying, why is he agreeing to that?
The way you do it is, you know, when you're that close, you give your offer, and hey, if you don't like it, no hard feelings.
Right.
And then you just walk away, you know. So,
but what if he likes it? Wouldn't you immediately second guess yourself?
What's he know?
No, because you know
if I'm Pioli, it's the first thing. I'm hanging up the phone
because you're not playing.
That was too easy.
Yeah, but
what am I missing?
You're not playing salesman at that point. You're not lowballing or high. You know,
see, I go the exact
opposite.
You know,
you're not looking to negotiate. You're just this is my best offer.
I think you both try to fleece each other, and you know that, so that helps you out.
Like everybody thinks it's going to be, you know, Castle for a one and a three, and Pioli comes in and says, "All right, Bill, we'll give you a third and a fourth round pick." And Bill says, "Okay,
write it up, Pioli, pass it over."
If I'm Pioli, I hang up the phone and say, "What?
Yeah, what happened in Tampa?
What happened?
Castle get hurt?
Yeah, immediately.
Toxic pee did it.
I immediately think I'm getting screwed, giving him a third and a fourth.
Right. But I don't know. It's
fun though. It is fun.
And I don't really. I don't know. I don't get any indication that there's any decisions been made. Despite what Mike Lombardi says and everyone else, I think they're probably leaning toward franchising. I mean, seems that way, but there's probably other things that we don't even know about that make this a little bit more complex.
It may be the most interesting personnel decision we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because one of our SPFWs sort of alluded to that, and
I
not far off.
I can't think of... I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback returning and a guy who was a complete unknown and is now a superstar.
Yeah.
And everything that goes into it with the franchise. And
let's just say that
I can't think of another
Andy,
scenario.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when we were joking around and I think you said, imagine if Castle got a chance to play and he was like this Pro Bowler and it ended up being like the whole what-if career?
Right.
Like, he could have been, like, a two-time Heisman Trophy winner if he gotten a chance.
Right. And he should have been.
He could have been a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback if he had gotten a chance.
Yep.
And now here we are, and I'm not saying he's that good, but he
could argue he should have been a Pro Bowler.
He played pretty well and should have been a Pro Bowler, and who knows what he's going to do over the next 5, 8, 10 years.
Well, you know.
It's a great story.
We talk about the complexities. The other thing, you know, and I don't know the answer to this, is like, okay, let's just say – and I doubt this would happen. Let's just say the Patriots, they sign him. They sign him to some deal that has a signing bonus. You know, what happens?
If they sign him, I bet it has a signing bonus.
What happens, you know, to that signing bonus if 2011 becomes an uncapped year? I don't know the rules around that. You know, let's say it's a 5 or 6 year deal. What happens in 2 years if it's an uncapped year? Does everything all of a sudden accelerate and you have to pay it off? Does it go against 2010? Does it just work just as a regular year?
I don't have an answer to that, but I think we can make an inquiry on that. If you were to sign someone to a long-term deal right now, what happens to the accelerated signing bonus in 2011?
If it's an uncapped year.
If 2010 is an uncapped year.
Right.
Because 10 would be the uncapped year. 11,
right, that's right. Right. If they don't come to an agreement by the end of this season,
well, 11 would be no season, right?
No, 11 would be no season.
11 is Armageddon,
Right, right. So.
But what would happen to the sign? You know, would it be?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Isn't that why most people are expecting this to be kind of a weird off?
Yes,
and quiet?
And that's why it gets a little complex.
Well, that's what
it's
I keep.
A little,
yeah, I would maintain that they're not going to make a huge splash in free agency because they're not going to put themselves in positions where there could be new rules with the new CBA. Even forget about the Armageddon, they could get it all worked out, and all of a sudden, the parameters that you signed the deal are not going to be those of the new deal. Who knows?
I don't think it's all that likely that they get a new CBA and it has dramatic changes in the environment.
I would agree.
I mean, they're gonna battle over the gross, the 63 whatever percent, all those, but I think the framework for free agency and salary cap will remain relatively similar.
I don't know, man. There's a lot going on there, and
if they
don't
want to
get
an
into that whole CBA discussion because that'll take up
no,
the whole
but I'm
show,
just saying.
Oh, plus we're gonna have probably like years worth of those shows,
right?
Yeah,
that won't be fun.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Michael from Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's the weather down in Puerto Rico today?
What the weather?
Oh, it's freezing, man.
It's freezing. Like, what is it, like 60?
Well, Andy, what did you have?
No, it's like 82 degrees.
Oh, I hate you.
90% of the country?
Yeah, 90% of the U.S. went below freezing last night. 90%.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. That's re-goddamn-diculous.
So much for global warming. What?
I love those. Every time it gets cold, it goes, oh, Al Gore, even though I don't buy global warming. But...
Well, believe me, it got pretty cold these last couple of days. Some part of the higher mountains here in Puerto Rico, it reached 52, 54, which is pretty cold for our standards.
That's funny because we're all pointing to this weekend where we hope it's going to get to the high 40s.
Put on a sweater, Michael.
All right. Just to give you a heads up, I mean, if you guys need any information on Caribbean or Latino information, consider me the subject matter expert because I heard you guys talk last Thursday, about Latino women.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That you were talking about Gisele Bündchen and all that stuff.
Right.
And I don't know if the person that he was referring to, I know that somebody got stumped on the name of a Puerto Rican, of a Latino actress. I don't know if he was talking about Rosalind Sanchez.
No. You know who I was talking about? Now I forgot her again.
I like her.
She's actually Spanish. She's from Spain.
Penelope Cruz?
Penelope Cruz. That's who I was thinking of.
I don't remember this conversation. Was this one of the days I was at the big show?
Well, we were talking about somebody emailed in and said that the reason why Tom Brady has to do what he does, you know, be hand-fed is because Latin women demand that. They're very, you know, emotional and domineering and, you know, they're public displays of affection, and that's where they are. And if you go out with a Latin, that's what you have to do.
And it's even better at home, so you have to put up with the public stuff to get the good stuff at home.
You put it up.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that, Michael?
And from my from my personal perspective, it's not that they demand it, but that they're a lot more open to it, and they do expect you to get, show it back to them. You know, don't take it for granted. Just, you know, like the whole holding of hands, like hugging and kissing and stuff like that. I'm not going to say it's a lot more than what is expected in the States, like with you guys and your wives, which I don't know how that goes about. But for example, here in Puerto, let's say in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Cuba, and stuff like that, it's really not that rare that you actually see it all the time out on the street.
Yeah. Like your boobs.
People holding hands, hugging. Like for example, if you're waiting in line on a counter, let's say like that. If you're waiting in line on a Burger King, it wouldn't shock you to see, for example, a couple like hugging while they're waiting in line and stuff like that. So that's just something to put in your, in your purse and use it in the future. I mean, that's I don't
put
know
it,
if
put it in Brady's
relates,
purse
relates to Brazilian women,
right.
But at least I know that for the Caribbean and the whole Latino community, it's more or less we're more open. It comes easier to us.
I've seen the beaches. I can say you're more open.
Oh, that's funny. that's hilarious.
All right.
But a couple of subjects that I want to talk because I don't want to talk all this time. I'm going to throw some names out at you, and you tell me whether it's a possibility if we actually even look towards those people, those free agents.
Yep.
And I know he's not a free agent, but Tony Gonzalez wants to leave Kansas City. Larry Johnson is going to leave Kansas City. Carlos Dansby apparently is looking towards the New York Giants way. And I know I've heard you guys talk about he's an unbelievable linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? Oh, Bo Scaife, the tight end from the Titans that apparently has the best hands on the team. And I don't know, he might become an asset or even a weapon here with us, with the Patriots. And I'm just throwing that out there to you guys and see what you think.
I think any of those guys are desirable guys. Carlos Dansby impressed me even in the 47-7 loss.
He's a freak. He's a great athlete, around the – he's not a great fit. I think he'd have to be an inside linebacker here. He's not an outside linebacker in the 3-4. And I think for the investment that it would take to get him, I don't know that it would be a wise investment. I mean, you've got your guy. Mayo is your guy.
Yeah.
Do you want two guys there?
We all like Dansby.
He's
but I agree with Andy.
Going to be great elsewhere. He's done a funny thing negotiating. See what he did?
He's very smart. He likes everybody.
No, but he said, the world is watching, Arizona Cardinals, and now is your time to tell them whether you want to be a winning organization and invest in the future. And like he's putting the spotlight. The right thing to do is sign me to a big money deal, and everyone's watching.
Is that more prevalent now, these guys just coming out and – you know, putting it to their team, you know, whether it's trying to fight your way out. Or...
I think he wants to make the impression that he wants to stay there.
Right.
Well, but at the same time, you know, I saw a thing. Michael just referred to the Giants. I saw a thing where he said he really liked South Beach.
Right.
You know, for Miami. I think it's smart. You don't say, I don't like Lance Briggs shut himself off to a lot of potential suitors when he was going through the process with that 3-4 comment. And I think that you're better off just kind of opening your arms and saying, hey, I want to be back to Arizona. That's the team that drafted me and blah, blah, blah. But it's a business, and I have to be prepared to go elsewhere. And I would like, you know, any number of different destinations. I think that's smart for a player.
I just think there's a lot of players now saying, I'd like to go this place, or, you know, just negotiating through the media.
Well, I'll tell you what I think there's more of is the Gonzalez and Larry Johnson situations
when
they're under contract and they go with the shoot their way out of town thing. Jason Taylor did it last year, you know, to a different kind of extent, but still did it. And, you know, I think you're seeing more of that kind of stuff than you have in the past. In football, it happens in other sports all the time.
Now, by the way, Valentine's Day is coming up, so we should have a Valentine's show on Thursday, you know.
That'll make Eric feel bad.
Oh.
But I have a problem with Jane Seymour. I don't know if you've seen
the open heart
for K jewelry.
Yes.
Very presumptuous on her part to think that this stupid little doodad that she's come up with is going to be the universal symbol of love or whatever she said. She says in the commercial, I'm hoping that this becomes the universal symbol. I mean, what do you think you are, the United Nations or something?
She said it. She hopes that it will be, and you're saying it's presumptuous.
She says, I'm hoping that this will become the universal symbol for – what? Your stupid little jewelry design? Come on.
That's Fred.
That really bothered me. Really bothered me. So
it's funny. I just totally disregard the commercial.
I'm sure a lot.
I know exactly the commercial he's talking about.
She
does not
the stupid little
paint
thing.
And I could not tell you one word that she says.
Well, don't at this time of year. Don't just start thinking, oh Christ, I got to do something for Valentine's Day.
Oh no, my wife's the best. I don't need to worry about that stuff.
You don't. One of these days it'll catch up to you, Paul.
Well, maybe.
You know, and you never got me anything for Valentine's.
You know what, Fred? You might be right.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No. You guys don't do anything for Valentine's Day? Really?
I usually
I'm just
do
the only fool
little.
Around here?
I usually do something little.
I'm the only sucker?
Yes.
Okay.
One born every minute.
All right.
Now, I'll get like a card and have Will sign it and stuff. And like it'll make it a cute thing with the kids.
Yeah.
That gets me off.
No flowers, dinner, nothing?
Off the hook. Off the hook.
2G, what do you do for your girlfriend on Valentine's Day?
She actually bought me tickets to a concert on Valentine's Day.
She bought you tickets to a concert. What
yeah,
concert
for Hanukkah.
Is it?
First, he flies her in from the
Miley Cyrus?
Phil Vassar.
Who?
He's a country star.
At Showcase Live?
No, in Lowell.
Now, is this someone
she's
she likes?
He's at Showcase Live.
Is this someone
you work here and you're not going.
And you're going to Songas Arena?
Is this someone she likes or someone that she knows you like and she got it?
Oh, I got to go.
We both kind of like him.
Phil Vassar.
I didn't know you liked country music. I would have gone to see Akon here if I had known, and it's already sold out. But
is that right? Akon at the Showcase
I like
Cinema?
It. Yeah.
Huh.
It's an intimate setting for a show.
Yeah. Akon. I don't even – what does he sing?
Pop.
Yeah?
Like R&B rap.
I don't think I've
Not
ever
rap,
heard him.
R&B. I don't even – I guess that's what that's considered, right, Paul? R&B.
Hip-hop?
R&B, hip-hop. It's not rap. It's more lovey-dovey than that.
All right. Let's get to something.
You got something, too, Jenna? Go with it.
All right, Fred,
I'm out. Forever.
Paul has to leave. He's going on the big show.
Who are you on with?
Paul, remember.
Buck.
494 Pats.
Well, I usually go with the PFW in Progress angle. You know, like we were saying before I got here on PFW in Progress, which can be heard on Patriots.com.
Why do you tell them? They listen
but
and
also,
redo the same show.
And I usually say that. Glenn, you listen from time to time.
1-800-494-PATS. Okay.
1-800-494-PATS.
Make that your last call. 1-800-494-PATS.
Oh, I don't have a last call.
And if anyone's listening here and you want to call in the show, do that.
Make fun of Paul.
What's the number for the big show?
888-779-0850.
888-779-0850. Call in, say that you're a PFW in Progress listener, and that's why you're calling Paul.
And end all calls with, Paul's fat. Oh.
No. Don't do that. But you know, plug PFW in Progress on the big show. That'll be good. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Greg from San Diego writes in, says, quick one. I heard Andy's comments on how Matt Cassel should have handled the incident in the bathroom at the Super Bowl. Please, Andy, if he were about to earn $14.5 million from talents that are directly related to the health of his hands, would you think it was a good idea to throw down in some drunk guy in the bathroom? We know Eric's answer, but my guess is that if Cassel had knocked the guy out, Andy would have been one of the first in the media criticizing him for his stupidity.
No way.
Just more poise out of Matt Cassel, which some other team in the NFL is going to greatly enjoy.
I agree with that.
That's
But I think if a guy was pissing on my leg, I wouldn't be thinking about that I make my money with my hand. Don't you think that's a reactionary thing? You might regret it later.
Right.
But if a guy's urinating on your leg.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'd have to see. You know, maybe he didn't realize it till after. I don't know.
No, he went and got the security. He tattled on him.
Yeah. All right.
But I wouldn't have criticized him either. Either way, I mean, it was a situation that you certainly don't prepare for. I wonder what I would do if I were going to the bathroom and a guy turned and pissed on me. I mean, you don't prepare for that situation.
Steve from Amherst, New Hampshire. Love the show, but what are you, stupid? Calling out Cassel on the urination issue? If Cassel turned around, punched this guy in the face and broke his hand, bye-bye $14.6 million. Give the guy credit for being smart and not pulling a Perillo.
I give him credit for being smart or being a weenie.
Well, I just thought of another Urban Dictionary submission for strippers. You know, a Perillo is when you get into an argument with someone in a retail establishment. Right?
Mainly, someone or an older woman?
I was going to say older women is generally who Paul targets.
Okay. So.
Cougar killer.
That could
no,
be a Perillo.
He gets into fight with ugly women, I think.
Let's see. Two misses, says Keith in Georgia. On Tuesday's show, you didn't address two things from Super Bowl weekend, the Hall of Fame inductees.
That's true.
And the piece on the David Tyree catch from last year, specifically the comments about holding on the play and Manning in the grasp. Well, I saw the Tyree piece. I mean, you know, it did look like Seymour was being held perhaps, but it is what it is.
Happens on every play
at this point,
all the time.
You know,
the play happened.
So
it's just like, you know, Santonio Holmes should have been called for the illegal celebration,
right?
And they should have gotten the ball. You know, they should have kicked off 15-yard line.
Once it's done, it's done. I mean, you can't.
It sucks.
You go crazy just
but, right.
You know, going
You're
going
to analyze every little piece of every little play.
And yeah. But the induction, what do you think? Everybody that went in should have gotten in?
I actually don't know the list.
Oh. Well, I know Bruce Smith and
Bob Hayes. Right. The Bob Hayes thing, the interesting aspect of that is the woman.
Yes.
Who
claims she's his sister.
And read a letter that supposedly he wrote before he died to be read whenever he got in. But now they say the font in the letter is actually invented last year by Microsoft,
right,
or whatever, 2007.
Right, right.
And then he has other siblings that have claimed that she's not a sister, she's whatever. And it's a strange situation, and it doesn't sound like it has an easy solution.
No.
In any way.
No. But Tagliabue doesn't get in again.
He shouldn't.
No?
No.
Really?
No. Certainly don't think he should get in right away. Maybe you look back and say, wow, he did a good job, but too immediate. He wasn't that great. What did he do?
Yeah.
He came along at a very good time.
Yeah, he oversaw the league during its biggest growth.
I know, but a lot of other industries and people and everything grew in the same time period. I mean, it was we're paying for it now. It was overgrowth, apparently, and now everything's being weeded out and pulled back in.
Reed from the Cape, PFW guys, Two Gender and Eric, I love the Tuesday show. I thought I really hated the Steelers before the Super Bowl, but I was wrong. What they did to me this past weekend really pissed me off. I bought a $25 square for fun before the game. The square was zero, Steelers and three Cardinals. I thought nothing of it until the Cardinals got the safety. Then I thought the Cards would march down the field, score a TD, and win the game 23-20, and I would win $1,000. Then the D-bag Steelers marched down the field and scored the game-winning TD. I hate the Steelers. I have one quick question. Do you think the Pats will draft a wide receiver with one of their higher picks? I really want Hakeem Nicks out of North Carolina. He's 6'6", and I think he would be a great option opposite Randy.
I don't know much about Nicks. I've seen his name. He's considered a top 6 or 8 receiver. Not top in the draft, but in the position. I think the guy that's interesting is Percy Harvin, who is an athlete, a playmaker, whatever you want to call him. He could fill a lot of roles for this team. The Urban Meyer connection. Now, I don't know if Bill would be hesitant based on the Chad Jackson, but I think Percy Harvin's a totally different player. I think if you draft him, you'll see him kind of in a Kevin Falk or, you know, in the backfield. He might run the wildcat. He'll be in the slot. He'll be all over the place, although his stock seems to have risen to where he's like the second or third receiver in the draft at this point. And I don't see them taking a receiver in the first round.
When are we going to get our tapes?
D'Lo is on that. He is in contact with the provider.
Right.
Sounds like it's going to be a little while, but.
So, you know, once we get those tapes and the combine, we'll have a lot more draft stuff. And I mean a lot more draft stuff on this show, on Patriots.com.
By the way, 6'6 is too tall.
Yeah, I think so. I think that wouldn't be a.
He might be the freak.
Yeah, that's not a good compliment to Moss. What you need is a TJ Houzmanzada. That's a good compliment to Moss.
I'll tell you what a good compliment to Moss is. Guy by the name of Wes Welker.
Well, no, I obviously. But if you're thinking about bringing somebody else in. Now, 2G, did you take a look at Mikey Vandalism's audio file? No. Okay. Doing your job in there. Last week we came up with a new concept.
You did.
For
better or worse, I want this to be attached to Fred Kirsch.
For user interaction. You know, you can call the show. You can email the show.
Can you Twitter the
show? But now you can send us an audio file of your question, so that way you can get it exactly the way you want it.
Where's this email from?
It's the one with the attachment on it. Anyway, while he's looking at that, we'll go to another
email. You're going to get me some Akon, too, that you were going to play to show Fred who Akon was.
Jason from Chiba.
Jason!
In Japan.
Whatever happened to ping pong?
I got an email from him sitting in the queue.
Oh.
Jason says, thanks very much to PFWinProgress.com and the lot of you for stealing my thunder. What are you going to do, I guess? What's that for? Oh, they did the awards. Because Jason always did year-end superlatives, too.
Well, he can still do his.
And he did. Here they are, handed down in the most undemocratic of ways from the original Lord of Superlatives, me.
I like it.
Enjoy. Let's see. Saddest. Those who departed the PFW family, all of you. Except 2G, who got a raise and still is useless. Or, I don't know.
I agree.
I got a raise?
No.
I think we got a memo on that.
Most anticipated. Free agency? The draft? No. It's training camp with a healthy Brady ready to make the opposition cower in fear? Nope. It's the Gostkowski versus Scalavino face-off.
Why do I think that's not going to happen?
It might.
Did he contact Gostkowski to make sure he's writing a story at the Pro Bowl?
I don't know.
Because the Pro Bowl is this weekend. This is Pro Bowl week.
And Eric's out.
And my guess is Eric didn't do it.
All right. Well, let's see.
My guess is he didn't do it.
Maybe we'll send him an email. We can get his email address. We'll send him a reminder.
If we can get his email address, we work with him. You type in
Scalavino. No, not Eric. Gostkowski.
Oh. Why do I have to do Eric's job for him?
Well, because he's got, you know, very important jury duty here.
There's no such thing.
Let's see. The most mind-numbing. Did I hear something about an Eric-only checkmate? Holy Lord. Fred, you're the one who allows this kind of poop to take place. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. What are we talking about, Eric-only checkmate?
His own show.
Really?
Yeah.
Then it's not checkmate. Because that's the rook and the queen. And we'd have to give it another name. Let's see. Most unwarranted. Shots at Paul for his Drew Bledsoe love affair. I mean, he actually does like a Patriots quarterback, so what are you complaining about? That's true.
It's true.
You know, if I can get Paul to like anything Patriots, that's a win. Biggest turnaround. You guys on Matt Castle. I'd give Andy / Falk an honorable mention, but it isn't even close. You guys even turned around on the franchise tag thing. Unbelievable.
We never changed on that. I said from day one that they were going to franchise. Not day one, but very early on. Paul changed dramatically. He thought there was no way that they would franchise him. And then at some point along the way, when Castle was throwing back-to-back 400-yard games, he said, maybe they'll franchise
him. Look, no one emailed or called this show in training camp saying Matt Castle is a top-flight backup quarterback, starter.
After Brady went down, everybody wanted Culpepper and whoever the hell else was out there.
When cuts came around,
Sims.
When cuts came around, more people thought they were going to pick, keep Gutierrez than
Oh, I was on the Cut Castle bandwagon. I thought he had a terrible preseason.
So this took everyone by surprise because he didn't do anything in preseason in the games to show what we've seen. We haven't seen this in the past. Now, we all said that he really never has had a chance. Well, we gave him that, no one saw this coming.
What happened was, at least for me personally, the first year, maybe two, I go back to an off-season camp, what was it, 2 years ago with Vinny Testaverde, where it was Brady, Castle, and Testaverde were throwing, and I said, Castle looks phenomenal. He looks like the best quarterback on the field. If you didn't know which three of these were the 14-year veteran, the two-time MVP, and then the unproven guy, you wouldn't know. After that point, I thought he struggled. You had the thing in Miami where he came in and threw the immediate pick six, gets yanked from the game.
Right.
And then I thought his preseason this year sucked.
Right.
I thought, and it was with the first unit. You couldn't say, well, he's not working. He was with Randy Moss, and he was one-hopping balls to Moss.
Yep.
So, I mean, we didn't have a chance to see the growth.
No,
it's like now people say, is O'Connell ready to be number two? I have no idea.
How?
Last time I saw him, he was not. In training camp, he was terrible. He was hitting guys in the shins on dump-off passes. But I don't get we don't get to watch practice all year long. That's why Bill's out there. He's making those decisions.
Let's see. Best unintentional reference, and remember that Jason is a school teacher in Japan. He says, when someone guesses something right in Japan, the "you got it" noise is ping pong.
Ping pong!
Now every time one of my students goes ping pong, I have flashbacks to being 14.
Wait, you yell ping pong if they get it right?
It's a noise. I don't know. Is that what it is?
That's an aluminum baseball bat at the College World Series.
Speaking of which, most prophetic. Remember last year when I said 14-year-olds who email the show were getting scary? No? Well, I did. And yeah, there you are.
I would have to say most prophetic was when I predicted on draft weekend that the Steelers would win the Super Bowl.
For all the wrong reasons. The line no one could believe. Did you see Chris Berman's? Oh, what? I can't read that.
I don't even know what it says, but got to be bad if you won't read it.
Best new term, business decision. That's business decision. When a player opts out of a hit, block, etc., due to fear of life and limb, an I've got kids moment. Seriously, go back and watch the NFL game day highlights from the Chargers versus Dolphins game on NFL.com.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what that means.
So it's a business decision when you opt out of a tackle or a hit.
Or opt out of hitting a guy who peed on you in the men's room.
Right.
That's a business decision.
That's another good use of the term. Let's see. Most inappropriate. Fred was ahead for most of the year, but Andy pulled it out into his hand. Nice.
I still got to say, does she take it anally is the best all time of inappropriate.
Talking about
you
temperature.
You didn't say, did she take it anally? He said, does she take it in the can?
No, he said anally.
We're talking about temperature because you had a fever.
I was sick, and I said I went home and had a fever, or my wife took something, and he goes, does she take it anally? That's the most inappropriate thing ever said on this show, by far, bar none.
Best caller, showing once again the rabid bias of these awards, John in L.A. Best emailer, showing once again the strict standards of these awards, Jason and Chiba. Worst show moment, C.S.S.A.D. What is that? E-S-T-S-A-D-D.
E-S-T.
Is that Spanish? S.S.A.D. What is S-A-D-D in Spanish?
S-A-D-D?
Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea. Is that English?
Best show moment, roster report, or not it still counts, M-A-Y-O.
Mayo.
Mayo.
Show MVP, he didn't get it last year because he's not Jewish, but what the hell, mazel tov, you tequila thief. That would be me.
That's you. You're not Jewish?
No. And also, Jason says, P.S., what in the hell is it with Patriots.com recently? You guys having trouble? I couldn't get through the last two Patriots today's. They were so choppy.
Fred, you want to answer that?
I watched it today and I had no problem.
I have that audio file if you want to hear it.
Okay, so let's listen to... this is Mike Vandalism, as he calls it himself. He says, quick question, figured I would try out the new audio question thing. I saved it as radio quality, so it should come out nice. Hope you guys enjoy. Let's hear it.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you live via audio technology from East Haven, Connecticut. I wrote in last week, so I figured this week I would try out my new premium audio technology and paint out a little scenario for you. You guys are the New England Patriots. You have the 23rd overall pick. Who would you select in the 2009 draft? Now, I know you don't know who's going to be on the board, but where do you think the Patriots' biggest needs are at? And it'd be interesting to hear the different scenarios between you boys. So let's hear what you guys got to say.
That All is right. good quality.
That's very good quality. Now, it's funny because, you know, you never know, like, you know, you kind of put a mental picture together of people just by reading their emails and seeing their screen names. I didn't think Mike Vandalism would sound that way.
Right.
You know,
like a 12-year-old kid.
Right, right. But anyway, it's too early for me. I haven't made my decisions about who they're going to pick in the first round.
Well, he didn't ask. He said that we know that's impossible. But, I mean, are you targeting a pass rusher, an outside linebacker? Are you targeting a safety, a corner? Best player available?
Right now, it's best player available other than a quarterback.
So a right tackle, a running back?
Yep.
What if
–
Sean Marino is considered the top prospect as a running back. If he's available at 23, you
he's
take
over
him.
Beanie Wells?
Yeah. Yeah.
If he's available?
You take him?
I take him.
Okay. What if Michael Crabtree slips there? You take a receiver?
You know what? He bothers me.
Yeah, me too.
This whole
His whole marketing
that
team he's
got,
put together.
He's already put this whole dog and pony show around him. And God, you got to wonder if that's the way he is before he gets drafted. What's going to happen when he has his first contract?
He's supposed to be the number 3 pick in the draft, and you're getting him at 23.
I mean, I guess if
a little
I,
bit of less of a
yeah,
risk there.
I guess if I've done my due diligence, which I'm sure the Patriots are going to do, my one-on-one interview, you know, I've done my background checks, and everything checks out, okay, I'll take him.
So you great really, cash, homie.
You really are – you talking about Randy Moss slipping? Is that what you're going with there? No? Okay. Anyway – you really are open to anything at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would say, I mean, these are extreme cases I'm bringing up, guys slipping from top 5 to 23.
Right.
But, you know, one guy that I still see all over the place is Maualuga. Like, top 10 type pick, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. But I've seen other places where they think he's going to fall into the mid to late teens.
You know, I watched USC whenever I could.
Please don't tell me anything bad about him.
No, you know, he's an active player. You know, and he's a sideline-to-sideline player, but to me, it's really hard for me to project what he's going to be, you know, how well he's going to be in the NFL. He's surrounded by such good players. He's completely freed up on every play.
So Fred going with the theory, don't draft USC guys. We'll see how that
goes. No, I just don't know. It's hard, you know.
I think he's
Everyone's good. Been saying how great he is, but again, you know, I don't see him doing anything that extraordinary when I watch USC. I see him active. I see him running all over the place. I see him in the frame at the end of every play pretty much. But
you've again, never seen him take on blocks? I've seen him take on blocks. He's a big, mean guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's hard. I just don't know.
You know who the guy I put in that category is? I think his name is Clay. Clay Matthews' son.
Well, Clay Matthews is also on USC.
Well, the Matthews kid is.
Right.
It's Clay.
It's Clay, yeah.
I think he is not going to be a good NFL player. I think his name and his teammates are carrying him.
Yeah.
And I just – he's highly thought of. He's considered like a second-round pick, and I just don't see it. You know, Cushing, Maualuga, and Matthews, to me, I think Cushing and Maualuga are going to be very good pros. I think Matthews is a guy that's riding the coattails of a star-studded defense. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Maualuga – I'd put next to Gerard Mayo, and I'd feel like I do not have a question in the middle of
Who's
the field.
Who's better, Laurinaitis or Maualuga?
Maualuga.
Okay.
Laurinaitis is – he has not had a good last year in terms of promoting himself. It started on the bowls last year where Maualuga had a big game. Laurinaitis did not look good. Had a good senior year, but didn't really do anything to create buzz. Then, for some reason, didn't go to the Senior Bowl, which I still don't understand why, whereas other guys are going there to prove themselves. I don't think he's done a good job of lifting his prospects heading into this draft.
Josh says, Paul, he says it's priceless. Paul and Andy don't buy their wives anything for Valentine's Day, and they don't make out in a private pool. Something tells me there's a milkman slinking around the Hart and Perillo house holds while the husbands are at work. No passion, so sad.
Plenty of passion. Don't you worry about it. But we keep the passion where it's supposed to be, between two people. not in a public pool. It was not a private pool. He was at a resort.
But that
if this was at Giselle's house, I would think a lot differently. It was at a resort, right?
I don't know where the hell they were.
Was that a resort?
I have no idea.
If it was at a private house, I'd have no problem with it. If I ever get rich enough to have a lagoon in my backyard, I will be banging my wife in the lagoon.
Whoa! Whoa!
And she'll be okay with it. Don't you worry about it. Well, I can't say that. We got in trouble earlier for saying things the other way. I thought heterosexual was the way to go.
Let's see. Sean writes in with some random thoughts. I have not had time to write the show in a while, so I thought I'd take a couple minutes and write the heart-stomping, earth-shattering, Papagino's eating, Diet Pepsi drinking, legendary PFW in progress. Sorry, still on a Springsteen fix.
Who's this?
This is Sean McLaughlin.
Hey, Sean.
I have some thoughts, some serious and some fun about the NFL and the Pats, and would love your take on it. One,
what we do.
I think we're all on hard economic times, but don't you feel that in some way the league and the players will make this great game work by getting a new deal in place before 2010? I do.
I don't know. I think the players have their own issues.
I don't think anyone knows right now, but I just
no,
can't.
But I mean, they don't have any leadership on their side.
I know, but especially in these times, don't kill the golden goose. You know,
I don't even know if the goose is still golden.
Well, it is
dangling by a feather.
It is. I mean, don't screw it up. Two, speaking of this great game, the league has so many great players like Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Manning, and others to speak of. Lots of stars and great stories in the great game. So why on earth do the crappy journalism of ESPN and others still concern themselves with Mike Vick? Does this game really need him? It was there before, and it's still going strong. Roger Goodell, your track record is very shaky, and I'm all for giving people second chances. He needs to sit out at least another year before he should even be mentioned, in my opinion.
People are already starting to mention him, though. I've seen him on the, you know, people projecting ahead to the year that's going to be in the NFL, and the expectation is, I guess, July he'll be done serving his legal.
Well, he's still got some other things going on, too, right? Even after that, there's
Well, there's the chance that he's suspended, that he's... Now, I don't... Didn't... This was his first offense, right?
Mike Vick, I think so. I mean,
well,
he's done some other
things. Well, he had that thing with the... Did they find weed in a water bottle?
Oh, right. When he was in the airport, they found a secret compartment that had traces of...
So maybe it's not his first offense. Because Goodell was very adamant the other day about... Shoot, who was it about?
Pac-Man?
No.
No?
It was about someone not getting in trouble because it was their first offense. It was they were not a repeat offender.
Oh, right.
Who was it?
Yeah. I forget.
Plaxico?
Plaxico Burress. It could have been.
But either way, the point is he was very adamant that the reason there was not further issue was because it was not a repeat. Now, I don't know if that water bottle thing was considered an offense or not, but if this is Vic's first offense... Then you can't. I mean, you just said a week ago it's your first offense. He dealt with his legal issues.
Yeah, but I think that the commissioner of the NFL needs to have his own discretion. And
trouble is,
you know,
he tries to be definitive at times, and then he says, "I have the right to do whatever I want at times."
Well, and I think you should. I think you know. It's,
well, just say I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm the commissioner of this league, and I'll do what's in
the
best
eyeball test.
But he should do that. He should pull. All he should say every time he's asked a question is, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the league.
Exactly.
Just like Bill says,
that's
I'm going to do
Bill
what's
does,
in the best
and that's
interest.
Why he does it. So he
But Goodell says, no, it was a first offense, so I won't.
That's why Bill does it, so he doesn't paint himself into a corner with precedent.
That's why I think Goodell is deserving of some criticism. He made $11 million bucks last year, by the way.
Is that right?
That's a good gig.
That's a pretty good gig. Yep.
Bud Selig made $18 for baseball.
Yeah. As long as he's not taking public handouts, he's okay.
That's true.
Let's see, Sean's third random thought, Tom Brady. I hear all this pup talk and how he may start the season on it and sit out 8 to 9 games before he's ready. Then Castle will start. Well, folks, I think we've seen this story before. There was a quarterback named Drew Bledsoe. Paul might have heard of him, who was injured, missed time, and Brady came in, and the rest, shall we say, is history. Why would Belichick change his mind? Let's just say Castle is doing well and Brady is healthy and the Pats are 8-1. Should Brady come back? Which leads me to the belief that Brady plays the whole season or is out in 09. With the huge questions about his career could then surface. Until then, let's calm down and let the situation play out.
Well, that's accurate, but that would be a very interesting story. Just hypothetically, we're going to play all these projections in the offseason. They keep Castle. They franchise him to keep him. And he's 8-1. Brady is now fully healthy, comes off PUP. What happens?
Well, I mean, for that matter, what if they get rid of Castle? Brady still can't play. O'Connell's 8-1.
Well, but I think you have. It's easier to go to Brady from O'Connell. Yeah. If Matt Castle is 19-6 over a 2-year span.
Yeah, but
that's hard.
I guarantee any fan base will have the sector of their fans who, no matter who it is, if the guy's the new guy and he's doing well, let's keep the new guy. You know how it is.
While we're speculating here, we've often talked on this show about we don't know if Brady's going to be around forever, and might have other interests, and maybe he's a sooner rather than later type guy.
Okay.
Go out on top.
All right.
Did you see his comments from the Entertainment Tonight interview for Smartwater, where he said, "I have some plans, like playing till 40?
Yeah, I did see that.
What'd you make of that?
I think it's great.
Do you think
I have some goals or plans?
Yeah,
and
I forgot exactly how. But
40. Yeah.
Is there a chance that he's kind of heard the rumblings that people think he's going to, you know?
Oh yeah.
And that combine that with the fact that people are saying, well, maybe we keep Castle for a year or two, and then he takes over. Any chance that Brady's saying that because that's my team? I'm staying till I'm 40.
I think it's absolutely calculated.
Alpha dog kind of thing. This is my tree to piss on.
If you're thinking that I'm going to be a short-term thing, think again. Absolutely calculated.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I took it. But you never know. It's a random place to do it in some ES.
Well,
I mean,
he's popping up in some random places these days.
Yeah, I wish he popped up in the weight room.
Sean finally says, I know the Brady is the hot topic, and rightfully so, and a very sensitive topic, but we are hearing too many stories, and I find it funny that some Pats fans bash a good journalist like Tom Curran just because he knows something might seriously be wrong. I guess this is what will keep the hot stove a lot hotter this offseason. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to bash Tom Curran unless you believe he's making stuff up. Because he's a reporter. He's reporting what he's given, told from sources. The information he gets, he passes along.
Right.
But it's more questioning where information comes from.
You know, what Tom has said is not a lot different from what has been written in other places. It's the way you kind of couch
it. The tone.
And the tone and what you emphasize. But there's nothing in that story that could be said is factually wrong.
Well, we don't know.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, he's behind schedule. Well, yeah. The original schedule when he first went into the hospital.
Right.
Of course he has to be, you know.
But the major issue was there's laxity in the knee that can only be fixed by surgery.
But that's not true.
That's what he said.
He said if there's certain things, it can only be.
No, he said there was laxity.
Oh, it can only be fixed by surgery.
Right.
But
you don't necessarily have to have
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But
you
he said it can only be fixed, and if it's fixed, he misses 09.
Right.
That was the major,
wow,
that
09's
a possibility.
So then the question becomes, can you play through this laxity?
And it gets back to the whole question we had last week. Is the laxity mean he's at 98%, and if they want to get him back to 100%, they have to have surgery, but he can be 98% for the rest of his life and be fine?
Right.
Or is it something where he's risking more damage by playing? It's to what degree that laxity and the issues he's going to play through are a danger to him.
Let's see. TG and Joyzy writes in, I had to do some training at work earlier this week. The student was sent down to my neck of the woods from the Providence, Rhode Island office. So needless to say, he was a Pats fan, and we commiserated as such. It was refreshing because I'm out here behind enemy lines and don't come across Patriots fans hardly ever. But imagine my surprise when I got to download the PFW podcast and this homer hasn't even heard of PFW. Am I in the wrong to be surprised? Needless to say, Fred, I did your job for you, hooked him up, where to go, even introduced him to PFWinProgress.com. Fred, it seems PFW needs a presence outside of the webpage. I got the impression he didn't know about PFW because it wasn't apparent where to find PFW, on the website or otherwise. Where else do you advertise that is not Patriots-related? Are there banners at other football websites like Pro Football Talk, NFL.com, Cold Hard Football Facts? I was really surprised this guy from Providence wasn't familiar with PFW, but you have people from China in the Philippines emailing the show. You know, what you really need to do, get an ad spot on the big show. Like that would ever happen. Anyways, keep up the great work. I'll do my best to promote PFW behind enemy lines.
Well, our advertising budget is pretty minimal, correct?
Yeah. But I think a lot of it is the case of, you live right in here, and you probably watch the games, but you don't do much else. Whereas people from outside of here, they want every little bit of news they can get, so they'll look for it a little bit harder.
But we don't advertise.
No, we don't. Not really.
Okay.
I mean, we do direct mail.
We're more viral,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, we do direct mail pieces, but, you know, we don't really have a budget for TV and radio.
Right.
Radio is good, but you got to do a lot of it.
And we could get an ad on the big show if we paid for it. I mean,
oh,
if
sure.
we offered the money, they would not poo-poo us.
No, but it's expensive.
Right.
You know?
And we don't have...
And you don't want to go on those rinky-dink radio stations because more people listen to us.
Right.
So,
then you're just throwing your money away.
Yeah. So...
What could we do?
A banner on Cold Hard Football Facts might not be a bad idea. A lot of people go there, and the guy's from New England, right?
Oh, yeah.
The guy that
from
runs it?
Quincy or somewhere.
So maybe... Maybe we can look
How do
at
banner
that.
Ads work?
You just pay for them.
How? Like a lot or
no,
a little?
It's usually based on the impressions. So you buy like it's usually like a couple bucks per thousand impressions.
Like I know Strippers does a lot of that stuff, and he gets it if they click on it, like that insurance.
Well, there's also click-throughs and all that stuff, but, you know.
But wouldn't that be beneficial to us if we could get those, where we only pay if we prove people went to the ad?
Yeah, most people won't do that, though.
Oh. Well, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Because then we only pay because we're good enough. If we get the people there, we're going to hold them. We're going
to
retain
them. Well, listen, anyone that wants to do a type of trade-in deal like that where it's based on performance, well, we'll do a deal with you.
So. Yeah, we need to get strippers more involved.
Okay.
What do you think our ad on like?
I don't
some
know if that's
websites.
Where we want to be going. TC in West Springfield, speaking of the big show, I heard Glenn Fraudway, he calls him, wow, say that it's possible that the Pats could keep Castle around if they didn't think Brady would be ready for training camp and the start of the season. This coming from the same guy who didn't think the Pats would even franchise Castle as late as the middle of November. What a tool. Wow.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo.
The Pats will franchise Castle and have a trade in place no later than March 2nd. There is no way. They would handcuff themselves carrying $30 million in cap space at one position. If Kansas City's interested, they could get their second-round pick plus swap first-round picks, then trade down in the first and pick up an extra pick in next year's draft. Pioli could then convince Gonzalez to stay by getting Castle and hiring Coach Haley.
That is a common – that's happened in the past in quarterback trades, trades of this manner, swapping of picks. So the Patriots could move from – you know, 23 up to 10 as part of it. You'd send the 23rd pick and Castle get the 10. I want to say Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck, when he went from Green Bay to Seattle, involved a swapping of picks and maybe a Brad Johnson or one of those other trades. But that's been a common practice for the quarterback game, swapping of picks as part of the deal.
Yes. Mark from Cheddar, and that's in England. That's
where
they
cheddar
make the
cheese. I like cheddar.
Hello, guys.
Good
Two
burger.
Gender. Shame Eric is not there today. By the way, Two Gender is getting better and better at his job. So,
how do you tell?
No, I think he is. Even when he's, you know, looking for porn online.
Is that what he's doing?
I'm
still waiting to hear Akon come through my speakers.
A few questions today. Do you reckon Bill Belichick will get a tight end in the draft or go after Tony Gonzalez? Because, as you always mention, he doesn't have the best track record with tight ends, and also the offense doesn't really need a pass-catching tight end, just a good run-slash-pass-blocking tight end, especially if we can get a decent number two wide receiver, as Welker is a number three slot guy to play opposite Moss. Also, how long do you reckon Belichick will still be around? Because when he goes, I might panic.
I have no idea how long he'll be around. He has often said he's not going to be Marv Levy and be around forever till he's 80. But he's got a long way to go before he gets to 80. He's only, what, 55, I think?
Yeah.
So he could, another 10 years only puts him at 65.
Well, as far as I think the Patriots are concerned, he can be around here as long as he wants to be.
Right. Yeah, the question is more how long he wants to
be. How long does he want to be?
As far as tight ends, I do think they will probably draft a tight end. I don't know how early. They have Watson and Thomas. Both become free agents, I believe, next year. So you need to kind of replenish that spot. You could use a blocking tight end. So maybe they draft an athletic pass catcher and, you know, bring a blocking veteran tight end type in. But they need a little depth at tight end because you've got two injury-prone guys that are in the last year of their contract.
Let's see. Chris, formerly from the Bronx, writes in. He says, hi, guys, and 2G. You notice that
smack
two
that. This is Akon.
Okay.
And he sings, didn't he sing on, Say It Wasn't You, all right. That one? You know,
say that again?
Something with the girl next door, wasn't me. My girl caught me doing with the...
No, that's Shaggy.
Oh, Shaggy. I get Akon and Shaggy mixed up. what was that?
Chris from the Bronx, formerly from the Bronx, writes in and says, hi, guys, and 2G.
Read this whole thing.
You notice how 2G has taken over, Eric, as the and?
Yes. Or the guy earlier today was, hey, guys, 2G and Eric.
Yeah.
They're a pair.
Yeah. And Christina, who for some reason never seems to come by anymore.
Ever since Fred ran her off, scared for her life.
No, she had a great time.
Did you have to actually register as a sex offender after that interview? You made me uncomfortable.
Christina, prove them all wrong and come back on the show, please. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at that Jane Seymour open heart thing again.
Kind of reminds me of a goose or a swan. Or
well, it's ridiculous.
So anyway, what are you getting, huh? Nikki?
Probably nothing. Let's see. Chris says, Fred, I can't tell you how excited I am for your first annual Qdoba PFW Draft Day celebration, where you host dozens of PFW listeners at the low cost of $50 each to a Qdoba Fiesta feast in the luxury boxes you broadcast on Draft Day. It's also such a great showcase to overlook the Dunkin' Donuts Guskowski Scalavino field goal challenge on Gillette Field. And, of course, if retired Pats like Andre Tippett and John Hanna can stop by from the Patriots Hall of Fame, sponsored by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
Then all the better. Add to that the Pepsi Patriots Draft Lottery Challenge, where PFW listeners submit their choices for the Pats picks in each round for a prize of delicious Pepsi beverages, and you've got yourself an awesome day. Thanks for putting this together, Fred. I'm totally psyched.
Who's this? We need to get him on staff.
Chris from the Bronx.
This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Well, we have something like that. It's called the Draft Party, and it's already happening.
Powered by AutoTrader.com.
Powered by AutoTrader. Sponsored by AutoTrader.
No, powered.
Powered?
Yeah.
It's a draft party.
But it's powered. They do things like that these days.
Oh, yeah? Like I thought that was online. It was powered by.
No, but like if Chevy does some pregame show driven by Chevy.
Yeah, it's like a car thing.
Fred doesn't get it and or like it.
And so Auto Trader is the draft, so are they going to give away a car or something? No?
No, you get to trade one.
Okay.
People should be buying cars now, though. Your boy Obama giving everybody their money back if they buy a car.
15,000 new car buyer tax credit.
1,500.
Oh, is it 1,500?
Wait a minute. You thought you could buy a $25,000 car and they'd give you 15 grand back?
I still couldn't afford it, but yeah.
But you can also write off all interest. It's kind of like a house now. You can write off all the auto loan interest.
That's cool.
Yeah, except for people like me who bought cars last year.
Well, I mean, you're complaining because you're one of the few people around here that's rich?
Shut up. I'm not rich.
Oh, please.
I bought a used car. Not a caddy like you.
Mine was used.
Yeah, I bought a used Honda. You bought a used caddy.
As a second car. As a tool-around car.
No, I'm getting rid of that other car.
You haven't yet.
It's because it's cold out and I need to clean it out.
let's see. Matt writes in from Connecticut and he asks some over-unders.
I like these. Go.
16 games played for Tom Brady.
Next year?
Yeah. No, this year.
I didn't know if they meant the rest of his career. Under.
Under? Really? I think he plays the whole season.
I do too, yeah. But my guess is he misses a game.
Okay.
If these knee things, if he just misses a game, sore knee or something.
One game played for Rodney Harrison.
Under.
You don't think he's coming back?
I don't.
105 receptions for Wes Welker.
Under.
Yeah. 4 TDs for Wes Welker.
Over.
Oh, okay. 2 interceptions for Brandon Merriweather.
Over.
Over?
Yeah.
Okay. 14 TDs for Randy Moss.
Under.
130 tackles for Jerod Mayo.
Over.
Over?
Yeah.
I say under.
He's a star. I like him.
Yeah, but they're going to have a better defense. 2 different Patriots lead a game in rushing.
Oh, over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, how many they have this year?
How many different people Falk did? I think, what's his name? The kid.
Sammy Morris.
Sammy Morris did. We know that. And the kid.
Who's the kid?
Jabbar Green
Ellis. Jarvis Green Ellis.
They had five.
Five. Okay.
One of them being the quarterback led them in rushing.
That's
one
true.
Game.
That's Castle did once.
But Sammy Morris did it like eight times, which is pretty impressive considering he wasn't the starter to start the year and missed a month with an injury.
Four Pro Bowlers for the Patriots.
Four Pro Bowlers.
Under.
I will go push.
One AFC East team making the playoffs.
That's
a good question.
It can't be under.
Right.
Because you have to have one.
It's either a push or it's...
I say push.
30 receptions for Ben Watson.
Over.
Over? Really?
The best part is he's surprised that I go over 30 for a starting tight end on a great offense.
Six,
30 catches you think is amazing.
Six sacks for Seymour.
Under.
875 rushing yards for Maroney.
Over. I'm doing it again. I'm saying this is the year...
Five wins versus AFC East teams. So they're either 6-0 or less.
Right.
Do you think they'll be 6-0? I say under.
Dolphins take.
I'd be happy with 4-2.
Two. Over.
So they're going to go
sweep the division.
Okay,
again.
Good. 13 wins for the Pats.
Under.
Under. Okay, 12-4 again.
Sorry, until that defense gets better, 12-4 to me with that.
Well, they won 11,
right?
So,
but I have no reason to believe that that defense is going to be any better. It could be worse, right?
Let's see. We're talking about T.J. Housmanzada. Chris with a TIAN says he's not a deep threat. Good hands, does well in the short intermediate routes. We have that in Welker. Plus,
right.
I know he's on the Bengals, but he seems like a crybaby to me. What do you guys think?
He does seem a little soft.
I think he's got talent.
He has talent. He's an NFL receiver who caught 90 balls back-to-back years.
I think he would be great. Anyway, what
but
do you...
But do you need him? He's even... You know how we said, do you need Gonzalez? He's even more so. He's Wes Welker. He catches a lot of balls short. Why do you want two of those? I'll take Gonzalez before I'll take Housmanzada.
I think he can stretch the field a little bit more.
He can't. So just get over that.
As for Gonzalez, if he truly wants out and wants a crack at a championship, I think... He would be an excellent fit.
Yes.
I think we need more talent on defense, and I would look to fill the skill positions on offense through the draft, not free agency or trade. As for Castle, I thought when a team franchises a player and another player signs, signs him, that the team that franchises him automatically receives first round pick as compensation. Am I wrong? Is it different if it's a trade?
Two first round picks if it's a signing.
Right.
But if it's a trade, it's a trade. You work out a trade.
But if they sign him as a franchise player, he's still open to negotiate with any other team. And if they sign him, the Patriots get two first-round picks.
Because there's also an exclusive franchise player, I believe. I don't think they've gotten rid of that, have they, Fred? There was, at least as of 2 years ago, an exclusive franchise tag, which you could not negotiate with any other teams as a free agent, but you were paid an even higher total because the average was taken right before the season to figure out your number, I believe it was. So, like, as other people would ink their deals, the franchise number goes up and you get more money is, I think, how it worked. Maybe they did away with that. But my guess is the Patriots are just going to do a normal franchise tag with him, the $14 million. And he gets to negotiate. And if by chance somebody's willing, sure, give up two first-round picks. But I doubt it.
Yeah.
Imagine if Detroit did that, just signed him. And you got the first pick, the 20th pick, and the 23rd pick in the first round. Ugh. Mm. Imagine Bill with three first-round picks. I'd even let him take a tight end with one of them if he wants.
Scary. Samson from Montana. Have we gotten emails from Montana?
Hey, Tucci, we got a pen in Montana?
Anyway,
I don't see one.
He says, I haven't had a chance to listen to the last couple of shows and was wondering if anyone discussed the possibility that Castle will be on the Patriots roster for the 09 season. I know that he probably won't be on the team, having left by free agency or trade, but if he is on the team, can you see Bill using Matt and Brady on the field at the same time?
No.
I know Castle is athletic, but is he athletic enough to run some sort of creative plays with the two of them?
No.
With all the Wildcat variations run last year, would the Pats try to create their own version? I realized there was probably a 99% chance that Castle will be somewhere else, but I was curious to hear your opinions. Thanks for keeping all of us fans entertained during a longer than usual offseason. You guys rock.
No. There are 99% chance you won't see those two quarterbacks on the field together.
No.
Although I do think there's a possibility that Bill tinkers with a Wildcat package. We saw, what did we see, one or twice? Twice we saw Kevin Falk do it in Indy. I think you could see Falk do it again. I think you could see a guy they draft do it again. I think they could draft an athlete. If like a Percy Harvin, I think there's a chance you could see Percy Harvin running some unique stuff. So I wouldn't be shocked to see a Wildcat package with a young guy running the show.
Cormac writes in from Ireland, and he sent some pictures from his trip where my gut is like hanging over my belt. But he also
just so you know, it's the camera didn't add 20 pounds. Those are not photoshopped. That's how it looks when you walk down the hall in the office.
He says, I was reading the PFW forum recently, and it prompted me to thinking about running backs in the Pats. You know, I really wish we could draft a standout running back like half the other NFL teams seem to be able to do. This year you had Forte, Slayton, Johnson, Stewart, Kevin Smith, and to a lesser extent even Hightower, although I don't rate him that highly, as top running backs in the last draft class. Why can't we pick up one? It seems to me we've never had an outstanding Pro Bowl running back. Why? Sure, Curtis Martin made the Pro Bowl, but it was as a Jet and Corey Dillon as a Bengal. But I don't know of any recent Pats running backs that have made it to Hawaii. Sure, Morris did an admirable job this year, but I'm not talking about getting a good running back. I'm talking about an outstanding running back.
1,600 yards for Corey Dillon wasn't outstanding?
That's true. He did pretty well his first year.
He set the franchise record for rushing.
Do you think it's just that Bill doesn't want to build his team around one excellent running back and likes a rotational policy? Be interested to hear your thoughts.
No, I think he drafted Lawrence Maroney with the idea that Lawrence Maroney would be a 1,400-yard back and potentially go to a Pro Bowl.
Right.
He's done the committee thing because Lawrence Maroney's always hurt and isn't consistent. I think he really wants Lawrence Maroney to be a franchise back.
Finally, do you guys have a date yet for the Scalavino-Guskowski field goal competition? Oh, and tell Eric that if he wants to practice indoors in case his weenie shrivels in the cold, there's an interactive field goal exhibition at the Hall of Patriot Place sponsored by Raytheon.
There is?
Yes, which he can practice on.
Can he really?
Oh, yeah.
What, is there a real ball you kick, or how's that work?
Maybe we should take take him up there, and as a prequel to the event,
we should definitely do this, Fred. We can have
him practice there. What we'll do, I don't think he's listening because they don't have the internet in the jury room.
Right.
But we'll rig it up so, like, he can't make it. Like, everyone is, like, misses. Wide right.
Like, he can't do, like, a 20-yarder.
Yeah, no
he
matter
would
what
get
it is.
So mad.
Let's do this.
He would get really
we
gotta mad.
We got to do this.
Can we do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Is the thing, I mean, riggable?
Yeah, I think he can rig it. I'll talk to Brian Morey. Also,
if there was I
forgot to mention that when I was in the hall, I think I saw some type of retrospective book about the Pats, and I saw Mr. Perillo credited on the book. I can't remember his first name, but is he a relation to our Paul? There was a Bill Perillo that used to cover the team.
Projo, right?
Was he with the Projo?
I thought so.
Okay.
Maybe it was Paul, though. Paul was quoted in that Chris Price book. What was that book called?
Oh, I don't know.
Blueprint?
Also, he was didn't he get an acknowledgement in Charlie Pierce's book?
He did. He edited that.
Yeah.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Maybe he was also in, didn't Felger do a book, Sideline Tales from the Sidelines?
Yeah. I don't think Paul was mentioned in that one.
Okay.
TG and NJ wants to know when we're switching to Flash because Real Player sucks.
When are we switching to Flash?
Chris Ferreira will give us an email and tell us when he's going to make the switch over to Flash.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? He makes decisions around here?
Well, there's other things we're doing, but it's going to be soon. Before the draft, I can guarantee
Chris
you that.
Chris Ferreira makes decisions that matter.
He's helping out. I can guarantee.
What do you do?
I can guarantee that we're going to make the switch before the draft.
Okay, are we going to do it far enough in advance so that people can...
You won't have to do anything.
Famous last freaking words.
It'll just happen if you have...
Last time we did something, I went to patriots.com and all I got was a big exclamation point in
the middle
of the screen.
Because you didn't have Flash.
But that's my point.
Well, sometimes people need a little bit of time to work things out before our biggest show in the history of shows.
Everybody who doesn't have as big a head with nothing in it like Andy Hart, if you don't have Flash already, get it, okay? Thank you.
But wouldn't you like to give people a chance, a couple shows, to break it in?
How are you going to do that?
Do it well before the draft. Do it 2 weeks before the draft.
Don't worry about it. It's going to be fun.
I am worried about it because two things. You, I don't know what you're doing, and Chris Ferreira is involved, and he's a clown. Or as Jason Whitlock would say, an ass clown.
Did you hear about that?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I just quoted it. Even generally, you have to hear about
things. Even
the
writers in Kansas City are fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting.
It's unbelievable.
I got to tell you, Scott Pioli does not seem to have inherited a very easy place to rebuild. Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
I always thought
good.
That everything was great in Kansas. The team, the fans loved them.
Right.
Arrowhead Stadium.
Right.
And all that.
You know, they're redoing the stadium. Good ownership, good fans, and now everybody wants out.
Yeah. So what
the hell is going on out there? The barbecue sauce?
Oh, yes. Okay. Josh writes in, Fred, you were probably thinking of the proposed $15,000 first-time home buyer tax credit. That
makes more sense.
Yeah. I knew that I heard.
I could go out and get a $25,000 car for less than half the price. Car is 50% off, thanks to the government.
I knew they were giving away $15,000 somewhere.
Oh, they're giving away $800 billion somewhere.
Right.
That guy, you know who's going to love this? You know that guy with the crazy coat that does the book? Want $15,000, start your own business?
Right.
He's going to have like a whole new field day of opportunity.
Yeah, but everybody's going to know about him, so he's going to be out of business.
I don't think so. I got to find my, how do I get my hands on some of this money?
You don't need any money.
Shut up. I need money.
You have tracts of land.
Maybe I claim I'm a farm or something, and can they give
me
money?
Maybe if you start, you know, growing something that the government needs.
Potatoes? I have potatoes.
Marijuana? I don't know.
I don't think that's legal.
No?
No.
It will be soon. Todd in Nova Scotia. Have we heard from Todd recently? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, he says his 2 cents on Castle. If someone bowls him over with two high draft picks before the draft, maybe a 1 and 3 or 4, they will jump on it. Since they already have 5 high draft picks in this year's draft, they will be just as happy to take a pick in next year's draft and use Castle cap space on Mankins, Wilfork, etc. I just don't see them making a big splash at free agency this year with the labor uncertainty.
Well, who said there's not going to be uncertainty next year?
But the thing is, if that's the case, all the teams are going to be, you know, conservative, and you might be able to get a bargain in free agency.
Well, that's kind of my point. But if you have
that Gene Seymour ad again.
Okay, it's a terrible ad, but apparently it's on all the time. Anyway, my point is, if you have that $14 million tied up, say you don't think you can get, Peppers. You love him, right? Say you don't think you can get Peppers, but all of a sudden, no one's getting Peppers. He's like Manny Ramirez. He's just dangling in the breeze.
Right.
You need to unload that Castle money and spend it on Peppers quickly.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You need to have the ability to do that. That's why you need to do the trade quick.
Okay. Let's see. Keith in Central Florida writes in.
So this is the first time?
No, we've heard from Keith.
Oh, hey,
before.
Keith. Good to hear from you again.
In past trades, it has been custom for the Patriots to trade players or draft choices away, stockpiling for next year's draft. I know it usually ends up paying dividends in the long run, but with this being one of the better drafts in many years for linebackers and some potential playmakers in the secondary, like cornerback Vontae Davis, do you see the Pats settling for picks in next year's draft for Matt Castle like they did with Drew Bledsoe? Bill likes to do this, as we know. I can remember getting all excited before the 2002 draft with Drew on the trading block. Yeah, but when they traded Bledsoe, it was on the second day of the draft. They wouldn't have been able to get a first. They had to go to the next year. They had no choice.
Or trade him for like a fifth if they wanted to use it that day.
Right. However, the Pats didn't receive compensation for him until 2003, which got us Ty Warren. Back then, the Pats had the luxury to wait. Now, with the Pats needing a lot of improvement on defense, I think that accepting compensation in next year's draft would not help the team as much in 2009. Well, of course not.
It definitely would not.
Keith, that's not a well-thought-out email. I'm sorry. When they drafted Bledsoe, it was on the second day of the draft, so they had no choice.
Right. And that Vontae Davis corner out of Illinois is an early rumor, early mock draft guy. It's Vernon Davis's little brother.
This is just in from Chris Ferreira up in Patriots.com headquarters regarding the Flash. He says, we are in the testing phase and are working out some of the bugs. The transition should most likely take place in the next 2 weeks.
Good, Chris. Well thought out by you, giving
people
plenty of time.
And then he throws Jana under the bus. Jana was supposed to give you a demo of the new player. Did she show you this yet?
She's probably not in today. She's rarely here. She's like Tom Brady. She stopped competing for the website.
Boy. Okay, so that's it. Next 2 weeks, folks.
And this is a good thing?
Very good thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Or are you just selling it because
it's
happening?
Real player is not that great. I have to admit that. It's not that great. We've been using Real Player since 1997. That's why we have a lot of legacy stuff. Well, at that time, it was the only
We're stuck in the early 90s.
That was the only game in town. I mean, there's still
AOL is still our email address.
You know, so but Flash is the way to go now. Now that Flash has worked out the kinks with Live and our content delivery network partner can handle Live Flash, it's the way to go.
Wah, wah, wah.
You don't need to know. Just turn your computer on.
And I'll get an exclamation point and I won't be able to.
If you don't have Flash, you will.
Well, I walk into your office this morning. A big thing pops up on my screen like, Java update available. Do you want to? And I go in and you go, I don't know. Who cares? Just do it.
Well, email the help desk. All right.
I thought you were the executive director of new media.
I'm not the IT department.
No, you're. Doesn't this fall under new media?
Email the help desk. All right. Ask him, should I update my Java?
I already did it. You told me to do it.
I said, if you can, if you want.
I did it. It went quickly.
And?
I don't know.
Did your computer blow up?
No, but no. Who can tell around here? We have the slowest internet on the planet.
Oh, boy. Let's see. What else do we got here?
Where's ping pong? You promised me a ping pong email, and we haven't had it.
Oh, by the way, Stripper says he covers all of New England with his service.
Six state strippers.
So it's strippers at comcast.net. And we thank you for lunch today.
Yes, we thank you very much. We are pimping for your pimping services.
Let's see.
So way up to Maine, even up by the Canadian border?
I guess
that's like 6 hours away from him.
Those
backwoods guys. I don't know if I'd be happy if I were a stripper sent up there.
Let's see. Strippers wonders if it's creepy for a guy who's 38 to be going with an 18-year-old freshman in college.
If it weren't you, yes. But you, it's okay. Oh, did I
39-year-old, I should say, not 38.
No, but
it makes
you,
a big difference.
When you hit 40, you might want to cut ties with that. Although that's pretty impressive.
Who was the guy? I just saw he's one of those rich guys. He's been married like three times.
Hugh Hefner?
No, he was like 60. He's like 60 years old, and he's marrying somebody who's like 22.
Larry King?
No. I forget.
Fred Kirsch?
It's someone, you know, it's a celebrity, but...
That's the next step for you, you know, in your midlife crisis.
What, marry? I've already married somebody younger.
No, but really young, like a 20-year-old. That'd be your next step.
Just on the side. on the side.
Can I have a ping pong email?
Ping pong, no. No. You know who I have is Pratt from Germantown, Maryland.
You don't even get close to reading all the emails anymore, do you?
No.
Ping pong!
I have so many emails, it's not even funny.
What's up, Pratt?
He says, hey, Fred and PFW cronies. I actually love the Super Bowl, but after it was over, I was like, man, I want the 09 season to start already. This whole offseason stuff kind of sucks because it's just too damn long of a break until September. Anyway, you guys keep us fans excited with your updates and draft coverage, so it eases the pain a bit. Anyway, I was looking over the list of free agents to see who the Pats might be able to go after. And by the way, this is not part of the email, but the latest issue of PFW... which hit the stands on Wednesday, has all the free agents. You did a great job, Andy, of detailing who the free agents are, who the might fit with the Patriots. So
plus all the Patriots free agents
yep.
and what their status might be moving yep. forward. There's 21.
So anyway, Pratt says, I was looking over the list of free agents to see who the Pats might be able to go after, and I particularly like some names. Please say good or bad in terms of prospective signing for the following names. Amani Toomer.
Bad.
Joey Galloway.
Bad.
Nate Washington.
Maybe.
Running back Maurice Morris.
Maybe.
How about running back Derek Ward?
No, bad.
Safety Fred Jackson.
Maybe. They definitely need safety depth.
How about safety Brian Dawkins?
Very much intrigued if he gets to free agency because he's a guy that I think he's been around forever. I want to say he's like a 14, 15-year veteran.
Yeah.
But is still making plays for them. Still very much a viable safety. a little bit of like that Rodney Harrison, get a guy with a little something left with the desire, because they've never finished. He's been to a lot of title games in the NFC, but they never finish over there.
Right.
He could win a title, and I am intrigued.
I always like the concept of the older guy who has a little left in his tank, who's hungry, who hasn't won it yet.
But he's also, not only is he hungry, he's edgy.
Yeah.
He plays with a, he hits, he's crazy.
I'd
be intrigued by him.
DeJuan Landry, cornerback.
Corner or safety?
He's got him listed as a corner.
I believe he's restricted, first of all, a restricted free agent. Maybe some interest, but not a great fit.
How about Lee Bodden?
Lee Bodden is intriguing. Went from Romeo's team over to the Lions, and they're not going to pick up his bonus. I think he'll get too much money somewhere. Not cheap enough.
How about Jabari Greer, inside linebacker?
Jabari Greer's an inside linebacker?
Oh, no, he's a cornerback.
I was going to say, I think he's a corner.
You're right. Landry's a safety. I'm reading these backwards.
He's a guy, we've seen him get beat by Randy Moss a lot, but he's always in the picture, and that's kind of my barometer for him. So I'd be interested in bringing, they need corners and safety, so sure.
Linebacker Channing Crowder.
I think too much money, but I like the fit. Has experience in the Saban system down there, some of the 3-4 that they've done. I like the fit. But I think the money's going to be too much. I think somebody's going to pay him.
Okay, and these guys are all linebackers. Jonathan Vilma.
Intriguing. Bill loved him coming out of college. Didn't fit for Mangini's 3-4, but maybe Bill could talk him into it, although it sounds like he wants to stay in New Orleans. Also has a had a little off-field issue recently.
How about Bart Scott?
I don't like. I think he's a JAG guy who's did well in that system.
How about Takeo Spikes?
Not sure what he has left, but could be one of those hungry guys that if you play him in the right role.
I know some are likely past their prime, but they can all make clutch plays and add depth to make our offense even more explosive, in some cases defense. Perhaps Maurice Morris can be a good replacement if Lamont Jordan is not re-signed. Keep up the great work.
My guess is Lamont Jordan will not be re-signed, and they will sign. You'll know a running back that they sign. I don't know whether it's Kevin Jones they've been interested in a couple times in the past, Rudy Johnson, or one of these guys that Cedric Benson, former bust-type players who might, they give him a chance, have a little talent. There's another guy, Buckhalter, career backup who's done some things. I think they're going to sign a veteran running back.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks, everyone, for listening, calling, emailing, whatever. And we will see you next Thursday.